it's time for Measure Twice.
Hello, welcome to Measure Twice. I'm Rob Perugini, along with Chris Kramer from C. Kramer Interiors and Joel Graber from Graber Custom Remodeling. This is the show that helps you envision your home's potential, and you're listening to us on Michiana's News Talk, 95.3 MNC. We're brought to you in part by Leatherman Supply. Everything, windows, doors, cabinets, and countertops, with the showroom now open in Granger, right next to C. Kramer Interiors and Hoosier Hardwood Floors. Michiana's trusted and valued experts on hardwood floors. You can visit them at HoosierHardwoodFloors.com. Good show today. We're off air. We were talking about the most dangerous river in the world, and it's the Strid. If you want to look it up and waste, go down a rabbit hole. It's not a waste.
No.
It's just a rabbit
it's
hole.
It's pretty cool is what it is.
Yeah. But go look at the Strid River in, where
North
was it?
Yorkshire.
North Yorkshire.
England.
England. And it doesn't, the cool thing is, like, you look at that thing and it's not, it's only like.
Smaller than the St. Joe.
Looks oh my like, God, yeah, way
it looks
smaller.
Like way smaller.
It looks like what we would have called a creek.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Right. But you don't want to touch that river. It's not poisoned. It's just dangerous.
Yeah.
It's actually a pretty clean river.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Or whatever.
Because nobody goes near it.
Because yeah. Nobody wants to be near it. But anyway, we digress. We could build a bridge over that. You ever built a bridge?
Over Phil? Troubled waters?
I've.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can't help himself.
I can't.
No, he really can't. No.
Sorry. At least I didn't sing it.
Thank
That's
you.
True.
Thank you.
There's on Juniper, there's a pretty neat, it's a pretty big house. I don't think it's a house. I think it's actually a community build on Juniper in South Bend that has a pretty neat little covered bridge and bridge setup. That's kind of neat.
Yeah.
You're making a decision though. If you have a river that surrounds your house, you know,
Juniper.
Yeah. It's not really a river. It's like
I know where you're talking.
Yeah. It's like a big white house. Yeah, yeah, I think it's affiliated with Notre Dame. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
But it's not, it's beautiful.
Isn't that,
it's not the Strid.
I can't think of it now.
But there's like a bridge over that. I always pass that and I'm like, how do you know how wide to make the bridge? Because what if you need something delivered?
Oh.
You know, like, that's all I could think about is like, man, if you get some refrigerators or stuff, that's a long walk.
Yeah.
You know, with your stuff. But I bet there's a way around it. I bet there's a back entrance I can't see.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Somewhere. But I think it's kind of cool. If you have a river on your, you know, like to build a little bridge over it. You never built a bridge?
Like a walking
but
bridge.
Not like
not a.
You would need engineers and stuff, right?
Oh,
I mean,
for
you
sure
can't
engineer
just
that.
Put a bridge over something and you'd need.
You. I suppose you could. It's not recommended at all.
Right.
I've seen those videos too.
Yeah, right. The bridge is a little nuts. Yeah, you don't want to do that. That's like, I think it's a cool little accent to your house, though. If you can do it, it's pretty neat.
Oh yeah, I mean, it adds a lot of charm.
Yeah, like a little.
It's so unusual because you don't see that very often.
Right. Especially a covered bridge. You know, like
yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Kind of.
I'd love to do that. Yeah, for sure.
The covered part be good. It's the building the bridge part that you need engineers to figure that out. And
oh yeah, your
weight loads and
specific.
I mean, I would have to imagine that's something that you would have to have engineers and architects involved in, and then have to get a permit from the state for
environmental
like that, yeah.
type of.
I can't imagine you can just get it okay through your municipality and it's fine.
I'm building a bridge. Yeah. Here's my plans.
I'm all about opening doors and building bridges.
Yeah.
That's what I do. But, you know, FYI, if there's water running through your property, you only own the shores. You don't own the water. Water's not yours.
That's true.
Just
unless you dam it up.
Unless you dam it up on both sides. Yeah. And then,
well, then you're not getting water.
Then you don't have anything. Then you have lawn at that point. It's not. But in our area, it's kind of neat. If you do have running water through your property, you have all kinds of wildlife that nobody else has.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's kind of neat if you can pull it off.
Yeah.
And you like wildlife. Yeah. Not everybody does.
That's true.
We're split down the middle in my household. I think it's cool when things appear on our yard. My my wife, she's not impressed by it. Like, okay. But those structures are kind of, that's not even what I wanted to talk about today, but adding a structure that's outside of your house, when do you need a permit? I know, okay, let me make the disclaimer. We don't claim to know the municipality rules of every neighborhood in the country, but in general, as a general rule of thumb, when do you need a permit if you're building it, like a big shed or something?
If it is a fixed structure, typically you will need it, especially if you're running any kind of utility to it.
If you're running electricity, chances are not an extension cord, but like
So you would need necessarily a permit if you're putting a shed on your
right.
Property.
Yeah. Like if you're just dropping a shed that can be moved, typically that's not something that's permitted.
If you're putting cement down first,
that would be considered a fixed structure.
Okay. And it's attached to that.
Yeah.
Right. Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Yeah, so if we run into something like that, I mean, if you're doing something like that, it's usually big enough to actually do some sort of project in or park a vehicle in, whatever. So it's typically permitted.
I heard a funny story yesterday about, we're just talking about something random here, but I heard a story about my friend's next door neighbor who built a great shed on the back, in the back, needed a permit. As a matter of fact, it's so big that it looks like an extra mini house back there. Right. Mm-hmm. But it's not like bedroom big. It's still a shed, but it's pretty big. Right. Okay. So the funny story part goes, on his house, he put in 9-foot door on his house.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful door.
Yeah.
And then wanted to get it gel coated because it's an exterior door, but he installed the door on his own without doing that. And so the people that were going to do the gels, the coating said, "Hey, look, man, this is going to be super expensive because we got to take your door off. We got to put another door on. There's all kinds of things, you know," and he got a little bit of sticker shock. So he took that door off. This is before the shed was finished. It was halfway done. He's like, "You know, I'm going to put that door on the shed."
What?
And that's why he has a giant shed, because they had to accommodate a 9-foot door on the shed.
That's quite the that's quite the shed.
So yeah. He saved a bunch of money on the first door and spent it all on the shed.
Wow.
To make this giant, and it's beautiful. It matches. Now that it's all done, it's spectacular looking, because it looks like a miniature, like his shed that holds his lawnmower and tractor and stuff like that, looks identical to his house, just smaller.
Yep. Oh my
gosh. This huge door that's unneeded because there's a garage door.
Right, yeah.
But whatever. I mean, sometimes we make decisions and we don't know. We save a penny and then spend $100. I'm sure you run into that all the time.
That'll happen.
You try to stave that off.
Right.
A lot. But you know what I wanted to talk about today? Well, we may as well just introduce the subject.
Well, yeah,
you're listening to Measure Twice. We're going to help you envision your home's potential in a second. But we haven't talked about the state of obtaining goods in a long time. Like, what's our supply chain state now going into this year? Because all your many projects are starting up now, right? I mean, you're always doing projects, but like your exterior stuff, that's all beginning this time of year. What are you, what's readily available right now? That wasn't before, or what is starting to show up? I'm looking at Joel asking this first, like what's starting to show up that's like not really a problem anymore, that was a problem?
Plumbing fixtures are typically easier to get now. Appliances are at least the lead times on those is better.
Are they, you can trust them? In other words, because there was a time where you could get it. You would get a lead time, but it wasn't believable.
Well, most lead times at this point are a whole lot more set in, they're closer to set in stone than they were.
Firm.
Right, yeah. A lot more firm. Man, windows and doors are still a long lead time.
I think that's because the glass. Demand is so high.
Well, the demand's high. Glass is still kind of one of those things that you tend to have to wait a while for.
Right. I don't know if you can hear, if you're listening, you can hear serious police activity outside of our studio. Nothing's going on. I think they're just on their way to something.
Yeah.
There you go.
We'll assume so.
Yeah, they're not here. In other words, there's no takedown happening in this studio. Okay, I think they're all by now. When we come back, though, let's dive into the supply chain, how why it matters, what lead times mean to your project, and if you are hiring somebody, to pay attention to those lead times because it'll help you cope with what's going on around you. This is Measure Twice. Welcome back to Measure Twice. I'm Rob Perugini, along with Joel Graber from Graber Customer Modeling and Chris Kramer from C. Kramer Interiors. This is the show that helps you envision your home's potential, and you're listening to us on Michiana's News Talk 95.3 MNC. We're brought to you in part by Leatherman Supply. Everything windows, doors, cabinets, and countertops, with a showroom now open in Granger right next to C. Kramer Interiors. And Hoosier Hardwood Floors, Michiana's trusted and valued experts on hardwood floors. You can visit them at HoosierHardwoodFloors.com. It is the project season, at least for us. This time of year, it's like getting warmer. People are looking around. And I think some of the unfortunate things that some homeowners run into is that they think of the project at the moment that they want it.
Right.
And everybody does that. We're all guilty of that in this room. We've maybe not in our industries, right? But in other industries, when we've wanted something and they're like, it's not the way it works. You know, like, you know, it takes a minute to get this stuff done.
Yeah.
If a project's starting tomorrow, Joel, when did you talk to them? If you were starting it like tomorrow, you're going to do a project. When did you first have contact?
Months ago.
Months.
Yeah. Sometimes longer than others, you know.
Right. Depending on the project.
Yeah. Because certain things have longer lead times.
Right. Has that changed, though, since supply chain got a little weird? Are you meeting farther out in advance?
No, not necessarily. A lot of times it has to do with selection.
Right.
So, but yeah, that's not necessarily. I mean, we just plan accordingly. Once those selections have been made.
But it's months.
Yeah.
You know, like 90 days, you know, 180 days.
Yeah, at least. Yeah, at least 90, if not more.
Right. And Chris, you're even, maybe even on the tip of that sometimes, right? Because you might meet with somebody before it gets to the contractor part. Yeah. How far out, if you were doing a project tomorrow and it was a pretty big project, are you months also, right?
For the contractor?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
More than likely.
In your world, how do you do that? When do you show up at the person's residence to start?
When they call and say, hey, can you come over?
Well, I guess I was like, do they come to you or do
they come to us first.
And then
say, here's what I'm looking at having taken care of. And then we go over and examine what they want, talk to them, see the space.
And then
that gets the ball rolling as far as then getting some contractors involved and things of that nature.
And at that point, are you talking about timing or is that too soon?
A little too soon. Well, they might generally say, ask, you know, how long do you think this will take? Or when do you think we can get this started? And it's like, I have to find out from the contractor how backed up they are.
Right.
So everybody's still busy. I mean, electricians, plumbers, they're all still busy.
That's such a good sign that they're like, that it's.
Well, it's part of it has to do with nobody has enough people. I mean, I don't have enough people. The subcontractors that I work with don't have enough people for the most part. I mean, I was just having this conversation with the gentleman that takes care of our plumbing and electrical. He's trying to find more guys.
Right. I hopefully that wheel turns, you know, slowly turning, because you see for the first time our local community schools person, first time I've ever heard anybody say out loud, creating a, can't remember how they referred to it, but it was like a space for the trades within right. the system. Not like an honest to goodness dedicated space, because there are, they exist, like shop cat right. classes and auto tech classes and all that exists in the high school system.
Not anymore.
Well, I mean,
that's part of the problem,
but they're, I've heard for the first time yesterday talking about a centralized place where trade learning can take place.
Yeah.
Well, now the trades are actually advertising on television to show that, hey, you can earn a really good living
right.
going into the trades. So
right. there's an interesting YouTube video, and I can't remember her name now. I should really, I didn't realize it was going to come up, or I would remember. She was talking, this is a master's degreed woman who's married, you know, she's 30 something, good job. She's in a, you know, a soft field. Like I want to say she's like an accountant or something like that, mm-hmm. right? And her husband is a tradesman. And she's like, let me just do the math for you. You know, I don't make what he makes yet, and I've been in the business 10 years, right? He's been making what he makes for 10 years because, you know, he's been at it for 15 because right. he started in high school. So he went through, you know, and she just did the math of like, and his income's going up at the same rate as hers as he gets experience. And she's yeah. like, I'm never going to catch him. And I owe this much
right.
to a college. I'm never going to catch up to him. Like I'm never going to, unless I become CEO maybe, or have like a giant, you know, kind of huge jump in her career. And I think that's now starting to get across to people that,
right.
well, you start, you ever play the game of life, right? You know, mm-hmm. that you, if you start early, you know, it all kinds of works out. If you had to pick though, a trade to catch up with people that would help the overall situation, what trade would you say, look, we need, if we had to start somewhere, let's start with these people.
I mean, I'm selfishly going to say carpenters.
Carpenters.
That's the first one that came to mind too.
I would agree. Yeah. And I think I agree because that's the origin. There's no tile without
right.
a carpenter, you know, like that it's ground zero, right?
I mean, HVAC seems to have the most guys in it, but still, I mean, they're typically undermanned also. So
what is a barrier to people becoming a carpenter, do you think?
Well, unfortunately, with the marketplace, carpenters of all the trades are probably the lowest paid. You can make a really good living off of it, but for whatever reason, people don't value it as much. I mean, the thing is like, you, if your air conditioner or your heater goes out in the winter, you know, you need somebody that can come and take care of that right away.
Right.
Carpenter, it's not, there's no emergency.
Doesn't typically. Feel like an emergency. Right. It's necessary, needed. Oh, yeah.
yeah. Yeah. So it's just, I don't know the reasons behind it, but that just is how it is.
Right. But the entrepreneurial spirit of carpentry is high.
Very high.
Like there's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And you can, I think you could do pretty well.
You can do very well. It's a
volume situation, whereas some other situations, it's not a volume situation. It's just a very expensive situation. But I felt like, you know, that's funny you mentioned that, because in my mind, I was like, carpentry, the barrier to carpentry is that it's meticulous.
It is extremely meticulous.
So if you're not a meticulous person, you're going to struggle to enjoy it, right? You know, it won't fulfill you because you're going to be like, oh my goodness. Right? I mean, would you agree with that, Chris?
I'm just thinking of all the, it's mathematical, it's
spatial.
Spatial, and it's detail, cool. detail.
It's athletic, detail. Right? Mm-hmm. So you got to be able to move yourself. It's a pretty, I'm not knocking, you know, drywall and all that stuff at all, right?
Drywall, I mean, a good drywall guy, that's an art.
It's an art,
it's
right.
an art. Hangers and finishers. It's an art, like, to be able to do what they do at the rate of speed that they do it.
And what's prohibitive for that?
That just takes a... so for that, it's...
We're talking about drywall hanging
and finishing.
It could
be monotonous, you know, because you're just... If you're hanging, you're just hanging, you know?
But the
finisher?
The finisher, the guy that you use is...
Yeah.
I mean, like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you talk about him like he's like Leonardo da Vinci.
Well, he is.
I mean, what he
no,
can do.
No, I'm serious.
What he can do is pretty impressive.
Yeah, and it's
not ever not, that. So there's levels in all of it, though. You know, I mean, there's guys who finish, and they do a fine job finishing. But then there's guys who are like it becomes an art. They can match the finish that's there, which. That's so difficult.
Or to do a
blend things,
or just even do a smooth ceiling. Yeah. It's a level 5. Well, that's time consuming.
Well, yeah. We come back. Let's talk about that for a second, because we can get lost in finishing, hanging, all that stuff. We're talking about drywall. This is Measure Twice. Welcome back to Measure Twice. I'm Rob Perugini, along with Chris Kramer from C. Kramer Interiors and Joel Graber from Graber Custom Remodeling. This is the show that helps you envision your home's potential. You're listening to us on Michiana's News Talk 95.3 MNC. We are brought to you in part by Leatherman Supply. Everything windows, doors, cabinets, and countertops, with the showroom right now open in Granger next to C. Kramer Interiors. And Hoosier Hardwood Floors, Michiana's trusted and valued experts in hardwood floors. You can visit them at HoosierHardwoodFloors.com. We're talking about, we were talking about the supply chain and the weight, but really the weight and the issues in supply chain right now are people to do the work. And, funny enough, we're talking about hanging drywall as a specific, how hard it is to do, right? How important it is to a job.
Mm-hmm.
And there, not only is there not enough people doing it, right?
It's hard to get somebody into it.
It's hard to get into it. And that's kind of what we were talking about, but through the lens of when you see someone who is just an incredible finisher of drywall, it does make you sit back, because it's an art form. That's what you were getting at, mm-hmm. right?
Because hanging and finishing are two totally different things. But like, to be able to hang drywall well, make it easier for finishing and do it at a decent rate of speed. Like, it's just, man, it's itself a science and an art too. I mean, the guy that I use, he does it by himself, and he can, it's incredible what he can do.
I don't know how you can hang a ceiling by yourself.
Oh, they have lifts and stuff like that. And I mean, some of the time he's just huffing it up there.
He's probably
foot sheets.
He's just the strongest person, you know, I don't know. Like,
yeah, he wouldn't look like you wouldn't guess it, but yeah.
That's hard work.
Yeah.
That stuff's heavy.
So is it about speed, or how do they make their money? Do they make it because they're fast?
Quantity.
But you can't have bad quality.
No, you have to have quality.
So there's that marriage between, right. Like, I can do this, I can hang drywall fast, but it's done right.
Right.
Because they're just hanging it. They don't tape it.
No, that's typical. That's your finisher.
Finisher.
So anybody that's ever watched a drywall hanger measure, cut, and place something around something and do it in like 20 seconds.
Yeah, I know.
It would take me half a day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it in like, it barely slows them down.
Right.
When they come to like a corner and
then it all fits together great.
That part of my brain does not fire. Like I don't, they look, you know, when they hold the drywall up, they put a line, they put it, turn it a different way, zip, zip, cut out, up, drilled in. My tongue would be sticking out. I'd have like a few beads of sweat.
Yeah.
I'd have numbers on a piece of scratch paper, you know, like.
Then you would have taken it down, put it up, taken it down, put it up.
Yeah. On my second piece of drywall.
Yep.
Yeah.
Can I fill that in with drywall mud?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And you watch these guys come in and just blaze through it.
Yeah.
That's how you make money. And if you think that you won't make money doing it, you're wrong.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You can do very well in pretty much every trade. It's just you have to recognize the value in it. And there's an incredible amount of value in that. I mean, it's part of the finish.
Right. What, Chris, if your drywall is not right.
Oh, it stands out like a sore thumb.
You can't look away.
You can't look away from it.
You don't even need to be an expert in your field. Like you don't need to be a 20, 30 year designer, whatever. That's the one thing that you can be an amateur and you can walk in and be like, oh, that's not right. I know that's not right. Wallpaper's the other one, right? Uh-huh. Anybody can walk up to bad wallpaper and be like, oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
And drywall. Other things you can kind of hide. That.
Oh, I don't know about that either.
No? Well, that's you, Chris. That the normal people don't see some of the things. Well, now I can't unsee the things.
Certain things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, once you see it.
Once I know that it can exist.
There. You never overlook it again.
Boy.
Yep. Be careful on who you hang out with.
No kidding. No kidding. I can't walk into somebody's house and see drapes and be like, oh.
Yeah.
I know. I don't know if we can stay here, honey.
Yep.
They're puddling. Or maybe they're supposed to. I can't even remember what's right now.
They're six inches off the floor.
They're 6 inches off the floor.
Like,
that's
the Richie
not
Cunningham
right.
Look. We can't do it. Right? Am I wrong?
No,
am
absolutely.
Am I wrong, Joel?
Absolutely.
We can't look at drapes anymore because of you.
Yeah. Chris has ruined a lot of finishes for me, especially with like furniture and wall hangings and stuff like that. Like now I can't walk into somebody's house and see the way art is hung and not
I can't either
critique it.
I can't in my house. I walk in and I'm like, our eye lines.
Anytime my wife asks me to hang something, I'm like, okay, well, how would Chris hang this?
No kidding.
And there's times where she's like, I don't think it should be hung like that. And I'm like, no, absolutely. Just in case Chris comes over, it's going to be hung this way.
I know. I have a piece of art. When you walk in the front door, you can only see like the left side of it. And I'm like, I don't know if that's right. I mean, when you're down the hall, like you can gaze into the other room. Yeah. And I'm like, maybe I should move that over. Maybe that should be something when you walk in, you can look down the hall and see it.
Focal point.
I don't know. See, don't he's know. Like, I don't know. I don't mean anything.
I have no idea. I have no idea what it looks like.
But what I'm saying, Chris, is Joel and I blame you for these calories that we're spending.
Yeah.
The overthinking things that you kind of walk in and just do. You know, where were we?
Yeah.
Right. I digress.
But that's also something that is valuable too. And there's not enough good designers. I mean, people who are truly thoughtful and brought up in a way of thinking. There are people, just speaking from recent experience, there are designers who think that it's just about a good drawing and I think this would look good here. It's more than that. And it's so much more than that. And then they don't recognize how difficult it can make my job and how costly it can become for the homeowner.
Because they're not concerning themselves with it.
No, they just think, well, it's just about good design. Well, what is good design? It's not just
pretty.
Pretty. There is a whole lot more to that, to good design, than just the aesthetic. And it can become extremely frustrating. I don't know how many times have I told you recently that I appreciate you, Chris, just because of this.
This one that you've been working.
Yeah.
Well, I think
out of the area.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's somebody from out of the area.
We're not beating on people that are in our Because there are good designers out there.
There are.
And you know when you got one. you know.
It's not, but for me, it's also putting yourself in that, you're trying to get into how somebody's living in a space, and you have to kind of figure out, I can't do that because I would love to do this design, but it just doesn't fit them.
Right.
Well, Chris, how do you see people pouring into the design industry?
No. That's another area that's, from what I'm understanding, is becoming fewer and fewer.
I'm trying to get my daughter-in-law to do it because I think she would be fantastic.
But I think people see it and it feels hard to start.
They have a misconception of what it actually is.
Yeah.
Because on the surface, when you first think, oh, I get to make things pretty, but there's a whole lot more that goes into it. It's, you have to know construction. You have to know there's codes, and you have to be able to draw, and there's just a lot. There's a lot of moving parts,
mm-hmm.
a lot of detail, and it can be very stressful because you're dealing with timelines and you're dealing with clients and you're dealing with contractors. And so there's a lot that goes into it. That's not just, oh, I can make that room pretty. Well,
right. There's your part counselor, your part engineer, your part architect, your part.
And then you've got to present it and you have to be able to sell.
Because
you have to sell your design.
Yeah.
And that's the part I think that puts a barrier up with most people. They fear the sell word. And, speaking of sales, we got sales coming in right now.
Yep.
But some people fear the sales part. And there's no way to avoid, in any profession, you're selling at some point.
Yeah.
Well, and I hate to use the word sell because it's not like you have to buy this. But what you're doing is you're presenting your design, your project, your thoughts. And so you've got to convince them, but you're basically selling it,
you're
the whole project to them. And then this is what bugs me about, HGTV and all that. They don't take you through that part of the process, and you don't hear the client say, I like everything but that. I really don't like that.
Right.
Can we find something else? And then your whole design was just based on that one thing that they
did.
Now you're starting all over.
Well, when we come up, let's tie it up in a little bow about our supply chain and getting people to do the work. When we come back, this is Measure Twice.
Back to normal.
Back to Measure Twice. I'm Rob Perugini, along with Joel Graber from Graber Custom Remodeling and Chris Kramer from C. Kramer Interiors. This is the show that helps you envision your home's potential. And you're listening to us on Michiana's News Talk, 95.3 MNC. We're brought to you in part by Leatherman Supply. Everything windows, doors, cabinets, and countertops, with the showroom now open in Granger, right next to C. Kramer Interiors. And Hoosier Hardwood Floors, Michiana's trusted and valued experts on hardwood floors. You can visit them at HoosierHardwoodFloors.com. We were talking about the supply chain. Then we talked about, how do we get people into doing the work so that we don't have the personnel supply chain issues? Because Chris was mentioning off air how your supply chain for your shop is kind of
back to normal.
Back to normal. What does that mean to you, Chris?
Getting product in 8 to 10 weeks.
And that was normal.
That's normal.
That's normal.
That's normal.
That's not a long period of time.
Not 18 months.
Yeah, because it was, yeah. So, yeah, as a matter of fact, it comes so fast, we're not accustomed to it. Since over the past 2 years, we're like, whoa, what's wrong with it?
That's funny. So when you order a piece, it's now kind of just like...
comes in a normal time frame.
That's good news, though. I mean, because that's that kind of your industry, both of your businesses really are the leader, meaning when things turn at your level, they tend to go down the line and start, turning, other things start right. turning around. But that doesn't change the fact that you need people in the industry, because the fact that your stuff is showing up on time puts more pressure on the needing the people to perform.
Well, and again, back to skilled labor. I mean, an our upholstery companies, you can't just walk in off the street.
Yeah.
And say, I'm here to apply for an upholstery position. That takes years of training and skill to be able to manufacture a piece of upholstery. You just don't walk in off the street and start putting things together.
Right.
It's an apprentice program to get you to the level. And as these older people are retiring, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the future.
Right. We might have a lag in innovation, a lag in certain things because
quality.
Quality. Yeah. But you know, you don't roll up and become an accountant. You go learn how to do it. You don't become a pilot.
It's any
but you don't just show up and sit in the front seat of an airplane, right? It takes years to get to that point.
We all have to learn and start somewhere.
Right.
And there's entry level.
Yes.
Well, carpentry is the same thing, right?
Yeah.
You don't want the carpenter who started yesterday.
Carpenters are worth their weight in gold, in my opinion, because what they can do with lumber and turn it into a beautiful space.
But you don't show up that way. Learn.
No, it's kind of funny because I worked on a project years ago we were doing a basement remodel, and we were putting wainscoting, raised paneled wainscoting in. And the homeowner's like, "Oh, did you just go to the store and buy those and put them in?" And it's like, no, I have to make each one of these has to be made by hand because the math won't work out.
Right.
If we bought, I don't think they even make it, but
no,
because mathematically, if we bought prefabbed panels, it wouldn't fit.
So you have to manufacture.
So the homeowner was like completely blown away by that, because then he realized, this is all handcrafted. Every aspect of this space is handcrafted.
It's pretty amazing.
And then you see the value.
Right.
You see numbers up front and you're like, whoa, that's expensive. But when you see what goes into it and the workmanship, then you realize that this is actually a value.
Now, what's cool is while you're learning a trade, you're working for somebody and your trade does not follow you home. Meaning you go to work, you do your stuff, and there's a little bit more left than when you got there. That's the psychological benefit, right? We talk about money. You can make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Right?
You can.
Money is taken care of, but that satisfaction, the most satisfied group of individuals when they poll people, right, is generally carpenters.
Oh, yeah.
Because they show up at work and there wasn't something, and then when they go home, there's something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's an unbelievably satisfying situation.
Yeah. My kids, like, go buy a place that I've done work on. I'll be like, hey, I did whatever there. And, you know, like, there's a part of me there.
Right.
And I know it will last as long as whoever lives there wants it there. And my son Jasper, who's started working with us, like, he just can't believe how much he loves what he's doing, because he's like, he was telling me, he's like, yeah, I just used to think what you do is stupid. But he's like, there's so much that goes into it. Like Chris had alluded to before, the math, and he's always been a math guy anyway. So the math and just the thought that goes into it, and then the feeling of satisfaction when you can step away and see that there's a piece of you that's there that's going to last and the homeowner loves it. I mean, there's not a satisfaction. I mean, it's in the book of Ecclesiastes, a man who works with his hands is going to sleep better than a wealthy man. You know, that doesn't do anything. That's time tested.
Right. Because you get to be creative. You get to be analytical. You get to problem solve. You get, you know, all those things happen. And it's not just carpentry, right? If you, trades.
Electricians, all these people take pride. They're all craftsmen. They're not.
It's a profession.
Yeah. And they're artists in their own right.
And it's worthwhile. And in the beginning, you get to go home and you're, you know, that way. Now, when you start to open your own business and have your own stuff, okay, that's different. You're dealing with people and, but that's a, that may be, there's a little bit of stress
there,
involved.
There's some stress that goes along with that for right. sure. But,
you know, the one thing that, since I've been in this industry, it's like, you know, you get Architectural Digest and these home, you know, House Beautifuls and things of that. You're looking at all these beautiful interiors and the designer's getting all the accolades, not the carpenter, not the electrician, not the plumbers, none of those people I ever mentioned, but you can't have that finished product without that, the skills of the people who bring your project to life.
It's got to be possible. And or it doesn't happen.
There's never a mention of thank you to, so you know, the carpenters, the plumbers, the electricians, the drywall, you know, the painters, because without that, you wouldn't have that beautiful
room. And we didn't even talk about painting as a profession.
I mean, a good painter. Ooh, that's the other thing. I mean, it's the finish, right?
Mm-hmm.
A bad paint job can ruin a really good job.
Yep.
Right.
You need a painter who can go in and do the job at a very high level. And it takes more than just slapping paint on the wall and on the trim.
I bought a painter coffee on the way in today because what was really interesting was he had if you can imagine, you know, you have a good painter when, what are something, if you looked at somebody and say, that's a good painter.
He's got paint all over his clothes.
He's wearing the white pants.
he looks like it. But I don't know. I just heard this. It's like, hey, if you see a painter and he's got, you know, paint like around his, you know, like he's got some paint on his stuff, but he doesn't really have like paint on his shoes, right? Because he's neat.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But they're all, you can't miss getting paint on your clothes. Oh, yeah, like that's going to happen. And so I went up to him and I said, oh, you must be a great painter. You don't have any paint on your shoes. And he's like, well, I just got brand new shoes. But he's like, you're right. I don't, if I get paint on my shoes, I don't feel like I did a good job because he's like, I probably didn't. I was probably sloppy. And he's like, we can't be sloppy. You know, like you right. just can't. And he's like my truck. He's like, there's no paint on the outside of my truck.
That's a big deal too.
Yeah. And he was like, I was like, hey, I'm going to buy your coffee. Cause it was really, we just had a little conversation. He's like, oh, thanks. You know, this is a person that made a decision 25 years ago and
right.
look at them, you know,
they're worth their weight in gold.
They are.
Yep.
This has been Measured Twice. Hope you've envisioned your home a little bit better. At least maybe you'll talk somebody into going to a trade after this. Thanks for listening. This is Measured Twice.
Podcasts by Federated Media.